Hey there, are you sick and tired of feeling sick and tired? Join Adel Kozilski and Faggy Stern as they explore ways to reverse chronic illness and achieve vibrant health. Your health is your only wealth, and together we can be better. Hashtag healthy you, wealthy you.
And it's a rainy good morning to all the Gautengers. I think it's been raining perpetually. I almost think that we're in Noah and the Ark days. What do you think, Faye?
The sun was peaking this morning. I was actually thinking, I don't know how they live in London with no sun all day long.
They get very excited when it just stops raining, never mind any sun. So beware of your vitamin D levels, people. Make sure that you take supplementation. Okay, we're not talking
about
today.
We will be actually. Later.
Okay, today we've got a very interesting show, and we're going to be talking about modern illnesses. We're going to allow our guests to define what modern illness is. But we have on with us today Pierre van Mosselfelder. He's been on the show before. He's a highly respected alternative health practitioner with over 18 years of experience. His passion for health and nutrition was ignited during his time as a counselor at a drug rehabilitation center in Pretoria, and he witnessed what positive impact nutrition and supplementation has on recovery. And so he went on, he was trained under Richard Penfound, who's a well-known herbalist and nutritionist. He then became a certified microcirculationist. You know, you're already practicing my very hard English. And today, his expertise in alternative treatments has attracted a global following. Many people seek his guidance around the world. And we have him, very luckily, on Chai FM today. So this is your chance to tap into a great mind, ask questions, and be part of the conversation. Good morning, Pierre.
Good morning. Hope you guys are doing well and enjoying the lovely rain that we're having. Quite a lot of it, actually.
It's a little bit too soaking for me. But nevertheless, I guess we do need the rain.
The gardens are definitely enjoying it.
Yes. Okay, Pierre, we're going to have an interesting discussion today around what you have coined modern illness. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have the mic over to you for you to give us a definition of modern illness.
Well, modern illness, in essence, is what we now define as man-made disease. So it's not like your chronic illnesses. It's basically things that are inflicted upon ourselves. So, but at the same time, it is also things that are actually starting to happen and we're observing because of modernity. A good example would be, how come my grandmother had 10 children and only had osteoporosis in her 80s? But in most doctors' practices, and even in my own, the young woman under the age of 40 that haven't even had children and now have osteoporosis. So the question is, what is going on? So modern illness would be things like diet, environmental factors, toxicity, stress, anxiety, type 2 diabetes, and the list goes on and on.
So what are the biggest contributions do you feel today to modern illness? Like, what is it that we're doing wrong? Because you are correct, we are living longer, and I think that we do have the opportunity, and we have the advantage of modern medicine and of understanding things in a much greater way. But in a sense, we are sicker. We might live longer, we've just got a plethora of tablets that like keep us hobbling along.
Well, I think that's the whole thing, you know. I mean, because of modern illness, it's creating problems, and there is modern medicine that deals with a lot of those problems. But the thing is, a lot of the issues are preventable if you start applying certain principles. I think the biggest cause of modern illness today also depends on the background you come from. You know, for example, we're finding in rural areas, if you think that the average person most probably is only living on something like mealy-meal and sugar and very, very little nutrition, it's obviously going to lead to all kinds of nutritional illnesses. And then with more affluent people, I think it's other kind of factors. It's drugs, it's alcohol, it's screen time, it's just watching TV, it's sedentary lifestyle. I mean, I find it kind of amusing that these days we even have smart watches. And your watch can actually alert you and say, move, because you haven't moved enough. You know, so these are all modern factors that can be incorporated into practices where people, instead of just running and popping a pill, it's like, what are you taking responsibility for? What is it that you yourself can do to make your life better?
I think also, though, that it's actual stress that is kind of the leader of everything, no matter who you are.
Yeah.
So in other words, like, it has an effect on you know, your mind and your body and in every way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm a big believer in mind over matter. And we even have it in the medical fraternity. You've heard of white coat syndrome, for example. You get nervous before you get your blood pressure tested, things like that. But I think that there are, like, definitely techniques that can be taught to individuals to combat these things. For example, let's say you are a sufferer of, like, you're a very stressful individual. I mean, these days, yes, of course, you can pop a benzodiazepine, i.e. a Valium or something like that. But that's a quick fix. It's not a long-term solution. So long-term solutions would be like trying to find out what am I lacking? You know, what is causing this anxious predisposition? So, for example, you can go for a consultation and find out what supplements could help you endogenously, meaning internally, to correct the imbalance in your body. And then also other little things, like, for example, waking up early, going for a walk, breathing exercises, maybe even joining a class where you can do Pilates. You know, there's so many factors that when you actually do it, you find that you gain control over these modern issues.
Well, let's spend a little bit of time speaking about the mental side of our illnesses, right? Because there is the practicalities, and we're going to maybe unpack them a little bit more and help our audience understand that part. But, you know, I think more and more, and I even see with myself, that health isn't only just about, you know, the spinach salad with quinoa that you're going to have for lunch.
Absolutely.
You know, it's sitting in your head, and you're ruminating, and you're worrying, and you're projecting, and you have anxiety. No amount of spinach and quinoa is going to, like, you know, help your blood pressure, so to speak. I mean, I'm not saying they're directly correlated.
You've nailed it there, because a perfect example, let's do that in reverse. Let's say someone is on a health kick and doing a health diet, and they're trying to lose weight, and then they're walking through a supermarket, they see a packet of chips, they pick up the packet of chips and they eat the packet of chips. And they're like, oh, you know, I've buggered up my whole diet. I'm not following my protocols. What's actually happening there? Their brain is sending signals to the body. They're stressing. Their body's releasing cortisol. And it's actually their mind that's doing more harm than the actual deed itself. And it's kind of, that's the paradox, because sometimes you get people that do live on quinoa and spinach and raw foods, and they're not getting the results that they should be getting, because there's still some kind of mental mismanagement. In other words, they're guilt tripping themselves. They're not learning to defrag, you know. So it's like looking at the holistic approach. So sometimes the mental side is actually even more important than the physical. And where I've experienced that anecdotally in my own life was when my parents first moved to Mauritius when we were younger. I was on a medication called Roaccutan for acne. And I didn't pass my physicals. They picked up some issue with my blood pressure. And this kind of haunted me my whole life, because every time I went for a physical or went to a doctor, they would say, what is your history? And you'd say, oh, my history is I have hypertension. And then it became a self-fulfilling prophecy, because every time I went to the practitioner, I would have high blood pressure. And then later on in life, my insurance premiums went up. And eventually I had a broker that was pretty smart. And he said to me, I'm going to send a doctor to your house to do the physicals, and I'm going to withhold all previous medical history, and I want you to keep your mouth shut. Anyway, I do the whole test, and I come out tops. Nothing wrong with me. Blood pressure is perfect. But I'm a practitioner myself. Since the day I was told I'm okay, now my blood pressure is 120 over 70. Wow. So now you've got to ask yourself, you know, what's going on?
I have to share anecdotally with you also. I have a conscious, but now subconscious, like, thing, also this white coat syndrome. And without fail, I fell. I'll walk into a doctor's room and they check my blood pressure. My blood pressure's up. And in fact, last year I had to go and prove to my house doctor, I took my blood pressure consecutively for 7 days at home, relaxed, and it was 1:20:17. In fact, I told Fiddy yesterday, I happened to do a checkup with a doctor, and I said, this doctor was only the second doctor in my life that when she checked my blood pressure, it was 100%. She went, very good blood pressure, 100%, because I was in a calm environment. Mm. But as soon as I walk in, and like I know, you know, maybe I'm in the high jump, they're going to tell me something, or I'm not feeling too good, like I'm completely stressed, my blood pressure, they go and say, you got high blood pressure. No, I don't. I've got high blood pressure when I walk in. So, you know, point taken, it's happened to me as well.
It's amazing how strong minds are.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of it boils down to that. I mean, even when we look at radical remissions, I mean, you can research it. It's kind of interesting. Radical remissions are when people overcome an illness, but suddenly and spontaneously, like just like that. And most of the reasons are because they've had a change of mind or they've had a life-changing experience. It could be, you know, something in the family. It could be spiritual. Who knows? But the point is something happens.
Okay. We're going to have an interesting discussion. Have you, any of the listeners listening now, have you had that experience where you will walk into a place and you will have an adverse reaction and it looks like that you are ill, but you're not? And it's just simply that your mind is really controlling your reaction to things. We'd love you to share. 34519 is our SMS line. 061-895-1019 is our WhatsApp number.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kosilski and Faggy Stern.
Okay, we're speaking to Pierre and we're talking about modern illness and we were touching on mental mismanagement. Let's just enumerate, in case people are not sure how they're mentally mismanaging themselves, what factors are affecting our mental health today, and then feeding in to the fact that we land up then in dis-ease.
Well, I think the main thing these days is even screen time. It's a big problem. I think it's affecting the dopamine levels of individuals. So it's actually causing some mental health issues. But it's not to say that you cannot use your cell phone. It's about managing things properly. We have things like time management, for example. If you're not managing your time properly, it can create chaos. So with screen time, it's more like just instead of mindlessly scrolling and looking at things, you can actually use technology to study, to learn. There are a lot of advantages. It's just how you use it. It's not exactly what you do with it. You know what I mean? So if you use it in a positive way, it can be very, very beneficial. But I think the biggest problem today is like people will like watch Netflix all night, get very little sleep, then wake up really early and then just scroll mindlessly on their cell phones. Whereas if you put a little bit of order on that, in other words, you manage it better. So it's okay, I'm going to watch a movie and then after that, turn off the movie, maybe read a bit of a book, get a decent night's sleep, wake up early when the sun's coming up, and instead of just going straight onto your cell phone, getting some exercise. It's really simple, old school stuff that needs to be reintroduced. And then obviously with the modern perks, so just changing the way we do things.
I think it's difficult in this day and age, especially in the types of, you know, in Johannesburg where we live at, behind our walls and our kids are kind of alone in the house and have nothing else to do, or, you know, bored of being in the garden. In fact, the community just redid a park here in Glen Hazel. And to see the amount of children running around on their scooters, on their bikes, parents sitting and communicating with other parents, sitting, you know, people even bring their supper there and the children are running around. I think it's like, kind of, we have to find ways of bringing that nature into our lives, especially living in Johannesburg.
Absolutely, and it's not impossible. I mean, you just, you know, what I find kind of sad is I'm doing these things in my own life. So this year I joined a Kung Fu class. I'm doing 2 lessons a week. And it's more than just a class. It's also a bit of a social. You arrive there, you talk to the individuals. And it's a nice social because it's like there's a start, change, stop. You arrive, you do the class. You have a little bit of a social and you leave, but you've set up your day. You've started your day on a positive note. And then also hiking. I started hiking in a place called Klip Revierberg. It's in Johannesburg, and it's very safe, actually, to be honest. And the thing that's sort of alarming is when I'm going around, I'm not really seeing many other people. So it means that most people are just sitting indoors. And we need to find modern solutions to these problems. You know, if safety is an issue, communities need to get together and figure those things out. You know, even where I stay right now, there's a community project to clean up the copy and to safeguard security, like to work on security. But these are all positive steps to address things that are causing modern illness. I'm finding, for example, in a lot of communities, what do people do? They come home from work, or even if they're working from home, they're becoming more and more socially isolated. So they're not engaging. You know,
I have to make the following comment. I just spent 3 weeks in Melbourne, okay, yeah. And I'm not going to debate the positives and negatives of Australia, yeah. Okay? Because I do have my opinions. But one of the positive things, you know, while we were there, is that as a community, as a neighbourhood, people are far more in the groove of that which you're talking about, right? And it's because the environment lends itself. Every single neighborhood has a park, mm-hmm. a big park. You know, people are dog lovers there. They will walk their dogs morning and afternoon. People will then take their kids out. They've got like playgrounds for the kids. You know, you've got an environment that is inviting you to spend time outside. Whereas, well, I think of Joburg, the thought of me having to get into a car to go 20 minutes to go find
a... See, but Adel, that's the thing. That's what we're discussing. Is that it's not our nature, but it's so accessible. Think about Ethel Gray Park. How far is it?
But it's a pain.
It's a forest. No, it's a pain. It's the same thing as having to go to... No,
it's different. And that's what I was saying.
Because you just walk out your house and go to your park.
In Australia, for by and large, not, I don't think we drove more than 5 minutes if we wanted to access something without like crazy traffic. For me to go at 4 o'clock, 4:30, I finish work, to try and get to Ethel Gray is going to take me 20 minutes in traffic with irritable people, so that I should go for a walk, you know.
Well, they really are working on even changing Cheltenham Park, which is a big
thing.
We have to get out into nature.
Just to interject there, it's an interesting take because, you know, life is an endless stream of problems. We always have problems, and we have to choose the problems we're willing to confront.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to look at it and go, okay, I live in Johannesburg. I mean, my family is dispersed. I mean, my parents live in Mauritius. I have a brother in Stockholm. I have a brother in Paris. I have a daughter in England and my other daughter in Cambodia. So you can imagine.
Oh, wow.
And the biggest criticism of South Africa is everything you just said. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but I have chosen to live here. This is where I am. Yeah, and I loved it. I was watching Rango last night and I had to laugh at the one scene where the guy is on the highway and he says, I can't survive here. And he says, that might be true, but here you are. You know, in other words, it's a problem. And that's kind of mental mismanagement too, because instead of succumbing to the problem, you have to look at the problem and say, how do I make this problem a positive problem? In other words, how do I overcome this problem? Because that's the only way that South Africa is going to overcome these problems, is by actually doing something about it.
So instead of sitting on for another 20 minutes on your phone, sit in 20 minutes of traffic to get to the nature.
I'll tell you how I kind of solved my problem. I made myself a nice garden. But it doesn't lend to aerobic exercise.
Also doesn't lend when you have children. Adel, for you to go into your garden, that's a different story and looking into nature. But when you have children, sitting in a garden isn't enough.
So I think it is one of the downsides, and I agree with you. While I'm complaining about the fact that I can't access, and like I feel like I need it. Like at the end of the day, it's such a great regulation. If you're by the beach, or you buy a park, that you can actually go and regulate yourself after however hard you work. Whereas, you know, Joburg doesn't have it. Yes, there are a whole lot of other pluses. That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to debate the cons of Melbourne,
We can talk about that forever, but I do find it funny. Like, I was watching this Will Smith documentary. I think he does the documentary where he goes from the Antarctic to the North Pole. And there's a segment in the documentary where it's all about happiness and achieving happiness and things like that. And one of the steps was nature bathing. You know, that's what they called it. And it's so foreign to someone of my age group, because when we were kids, we just played outside. It wasn't like a big deal. But now you got to think, like, now put that in context. We come from that generation that most probably just played outside. But now you got to think the youngsters are in a totally different world. I mean, especially like all the things you just mentioned about Johannesburg. So how do we create safe spaces for children to be able to play outside? And how do communities come together to solve those issues? And I think that's another modern illness problem, is people are becoming more isolated and not engaging with community. Some communities are luckier than others. For example, if you're part of the Jewish community, you know, you have that advantage. You meet at, you know, the synagogue, you know, and things like that. So there's that aspect. But there's a lot of people in the modern world that are totally and utterly isolated. And I think that's something that needs to be addressed as well. And I think there are things that can be done, you know. So, for example, like I said earlier, joining a class, you know, social engagement, things like that.
Can you explain to us scientifically, like, what nature and the environment of nature does to us? Because it obviously has an effect on us. Explain, you know, the benefits of it.
Well, the what we've discovered with nature, which is interesting, I saw this when I was in rehabilitation, you would get, especially with youngsters, so you would get a person who's, let's say, emotionally unregulated, might be aggressive or feeling angry, and then you take them for a long hike in nature. And as you're walking around, you'll notice that the individual starts to, I call it defrag. You know, they because as they're walking, what's actually happening? They're taking their attention off themselves, and they're thinking, and they're putting their attention on their environment. So essentially what's happening is they're becoming more present. So they're in present time. But then they're also literal things. You're grounding yourself, you're orientating yourself, you're also exposing yourself to vitamin D and fresh air, and you're getting your body moving. And I find that it's fascinating when we go down that rabbit hole, because I'll give you a real example. I have a client who had bursitis on his elbow, and it is quite an inflammatory condition on his elbow. And he actually went to see someone about it, and the recommendation was cortisone and an antibiotic. And I couldn't understand why the antibiotic, because it's just bursitis. And then he subsequently joined a martial arts studio where he started going training. And I think he had been for 5 or 6 lessons. So it wasn't like a large amount of lessons. And when I next saw him, I said, "Yeah, what happened to your elbow? It's cleared up." And he was like, yeah, it was from the doing the martial arts through movement. And I was thinking, that's fascinating. So just by doing physical activity, your physical condition actually changed and improved.
Absolutely. So I you know, there definitely is the plus with nature. Let's go into diet and gut, because you know, we are, in a sense, we're our gut affects our brain affects our gut, right?
Yeah.
So I think that we understand how to, or that we should be influencing our environment in a more positive way. Let's talk about diet and gut. You know, like, it astounds me sometimes. I went to a restaurant the other night. We had an overseas guest. We ate. Did I eat perfectly? I didn't, but you know, I tried to make sure that I had protein on my plate and that I had a salad, etc., etc. I was just watching another table. The guy ordered a pasta. Okay, so it was just carb loads. And when he finished, he called the waitress and he ordered a Coke and chips. And he mauled through that, and I'm going, my gosh, like, you know, this, and again, I'm not knocking that person. I don't know who that person is, and there's no comment. And if it was you, I don't know who you are. So I don't take
it. But maybe it was his cheat day.
Benefit of the doubt. Maybe he was running a comrades marathon the next day.
I think you see, that can also be an issue. It's there are gradient scales of right and wrong. And as long as you're more right than wrong, then you're in a good space. And it's about moving towards that scale of doing things correctly. And then, yes, if you're doing, let's say you're moving in that direction. So let's say you didn't used to do anything and you start following some health protocols. But I think the most important thing is your own reality on it. I mean, if you, for example, decide to eat a certain way and you feel no difference whatsoever, it's not going to be real to you. So you're not going to have any follow through. And I think that's very, very, very important. You know, so for me personally, what I observed is if when I went to England last year to visit my daughter and my grandchild, we were, you know, the food in England was a lot of fish and chips and, you know, that type of thing. And we were on the road a lot. And I noticed quite quickly that I didn't feel well, you know, that I had inflammation, that my joints were a bit sore, that I had mental fog. And then I thought, okay, I need to correct this. So then I went to a local health shop in the area and I bought some milk thistle and some digestive enzymes, and I started to make better food choices, and quickly the conditions reversed. And it became apparent to me that it's not that complicated. You know, you can bounce back so quickly and you don't have to be that neurotic, you know. So if you're gonna like have a cheat day, so to speak, then have that cheat day, but start becoming more self-aware. And that's the mental side. So self-awareness is like, okay, if I go to bed before bed and I eat a packet of Pringles and a chocolate bar and have two glasses of Coke, and I wake up in the morning feeling like a bus has hit me, you know why. You know, it's like quite simple, really. And I think that is also putting the responsibility into the person's hands. So in other words, with children, it's like, well, how do you feel? I want you to try it this way. If you try it this way, do you feel better? And when people find out for themselves, then they take responsibility. Otherwise, it's just someone lecturing or barking orders.
I do. I bring that up with my children that when they eat pizza and their stomachs are so sore, and I look at them and I say, how do you feel? How did that pizza make you feel?
I think the point that you're saying, Pierre, is very important, and it is a self-motivating mechanism to go and say, how do I feel? Did I get up now from the table feeling good, energetic, you know, ready on for the next thing, or did I get up feeling like sick as a dog? I know for myself, I try to keep like a pretty healthy diet. And when I do allow myself to cheat, and I do, because you know, you can't smash yourself to the point where then you actually go thing. I'll allow myself just a little bit of something, and that little bit of something does make me feel sick. The next day, I actually fast the whole day. My body says, okay, so you're allowed to do what you do. Yeah. Like I have no appetite, and my body actually shuts down and says, okay, let me just get rid of this garbage that you've just fed it. and we'll do a restart. We're speaking to Pierre. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd love to hear your experiences. If this resonates with you, 34519 is our SMS line. 061-895-1019 is our WhatsApp number. This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kosilski and Faggy Stern.
Right, here's another thing, and we were actually just, Faggy and I were debating it while the break, and that's the whole discussion around supplementation.
As we sit here with all Able supplements on the table,
waiting to be swallowed. I'm just going to take the whole day for me to swallow. So I am drugless, right? I'm not taking any allopathic medication, and thank God I'm healthy, but I said to Faggy, I would love it that it would come a day where I don't need to supplement, but I feel that it's such a difficult thing to achieve, to get everything that you need in the environment today, just simply because you're going to drive yourself crazy with organic meat and organic vegetables and
you hit it there, because I always laugh. I see these influencers and the guys living on a beach in Hawaii and you know, everything is absolutely perfect, but we don't live in that environment. So that's also, we have to be, you know, there's optimism, pessimism, and then there's reality. And the reality is we have to look at the environment we're currently in right now. Hopefully one day, Hawaii. But the point is that supplements, I find, help with what is called satiation. So it actually gives your body the nutrients you need so that you don't have all the crazy cravings or the urge to try and get quick dopamine fixes. And that's what I saw in rehabilitation. We noticed that through proper diet, exercise, and nutrition, addictive behavior, for example, subsided.
There's a lot of talk around that. I don't know where I read it or who we spoke to that was speaking about rehabilitation of people who have unfortunately landed up in prison for all sorts of things. And a lot of it had to do around, again,
Dr. Bill Walsh. He had he did a research on thousands of people.
Yes. I think Patrick Colford also kind of did something with that at one point, or most probably popularized the concept again. But there's a lot of truth there, because you can see, for example, I was going to mention it, even with everyone going on about GLP-1 and Ozempic and all that. And I was looking at the mechanism of it, and it's kind of fascinating, because it's basically just something in your stomach that tells you you're satisfied. And what's interesting is the modern problem. Like so many of the foods that are made for us, the modern foods, you don't feel satisfied. You know, if you think about it, if you eat something that's properly nutritious, you feel satisfied. And unfortunately, it's also environmental, because I know, for example, I've traveled a bit in my life. And for example, when I lived in France, I found that I ate a lot less and I felt satisfied. And then I thought it must be something to do with agriculture. It must be the way that the food is farmed. And that's where our responsibility comes in, because we do have choices and we must push, you know, to get legislation passed so that the food supply gets changed. I mean, I find it shocking that it's cheaper for a laborer to buy a donut than it is for him to get a proper nutritious meal. And that's also a modern problem. You know, I think that when we look at the concept of modern illness, it's not just, it's the illness of the society itself. That's what we also have to look at. You know, like environmental mismanagement has become a huge thing here in South Africa. I mean, I had to do a house call the other day, and I was driving in a part of Sandton where I drove over the Yitzke River, and I was horrified just to see the extent of how polluted the actual environment itself is. And it all ties into each other, but it's like that same thing. It's taking that first step. You can only start with yourself. So the things are, do the baby steps. It doesn't have to be massive. For example, you know, if you usually just wake up in the morning and then sleep in because you're lucky enough to do that, change that habit. Try to get up early. Try to get outdoors. Try to get some sunshine. Find out if there's a hiking club you can join, or a class that you could join where you could engage with other people. And then when it comes to supplementations, there's so many health coaches out there these days. You're welcome to even come to Cancure Wellness, and I can coach you in the right direction on what supplements to take, because I also believe that just like in the pharmaceutical industry and the natural supplement industry, there are supplements that aren't that great or not good for you. So you do need to do your research. You know, but I think in the day and age, that's where modernity does help. I mean, we do have AI and you can do research. And I find that the environment's becoming more and more honest and transparent, which is kind of positive.
With regards to actual mental health and supplementation, I mean, I have found, even just from what I've learned, is that the B vitamins, the zinc and the vitamin D specifically, probably even iron, I'm assuming, on like the effect that it has on your mental health.
Oh, absolutely. The biggest win that I've had in my practice of late is mainly the gut. So finding the link between the gut and mental health, and working with a lady in London who's an integrative doctor. And over there, they actually do like stool testing, and they can actually identify which microbiotic you're missing. And because we know that a lot of modern illnesses, here's a good example. Let's say a modern illness like gout, people suffer from gout, and they might take allopathic medicine to calm it or help with the symptoms, but they're not curing it. And they've discovered that it's actually a lack of a certain microbiotic that helps to break down purines. And the reason why we don't have that microbiotic is most probably because of overuse of antibiotics. And it's not to vilify antibiotics, it's just that sometimes with the treatment, it creates another problem.
My brother actually started my mother's morning concoction, the turmeric, ginger, lemon, honey, cayenne pepper, and he's completely cured his gout. He's like gout free.
That's been a recipe for a long time.
But he's shocked, and he goes and says to people, I've been taking Puricost for so long and never helped me. Now I'm completely gout free from my morning concoction.
But I love that kind of a win, because it's a person finding out for themselves. And I think that's the biggest win ever. I mean, some people sometimes criticize and say it's placebo. But the point is, the guy doesn't have gout.
And he's the type that definitely doesn't believe it was a placebo.
Well, that's the double-sided sword. You know, people go on about placebo. But the point is that if the placebo works, what does it prove?
Exactly.
I think you're saying a very, very important thing, and it's something that I resonate with, and that is, you need to take responsibility for yourself, and you need to become sensitive to listening to your body. Your body talks to you. Your body tells you what is good and what is right and what is wrong. And I was having this discussion yesterday at my checkup with the doctor, just saying, you know, should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? Like, I don't feel I should. And I was very empowered when the doctor said, I will support you in what you're feeling, because if you don't feel the need to, there's no need to do it. Like, you know, because I said to tell me if I'm doing something wrong. And it was very empowering to hear a doctor go and say, you know your body, you understand it. Right. I know exactly, like, when I'm subclinically sick, I know that I've got some virus hanging around, that I've created that sensitivity to understand that. And I think it should be an encouragement to everybody to actually be their own doctor. I'm not telling you don't go to the doctor. Please be responsible.
I love what you just said, because it comes up a lot. I remember reading an article about an old blues man who'd become a centennial. You know, he was 100 or something. And they said, "What is your secret to longevity?" And he was like, "Don't go to the doctor." You know, that's just a joke. But it is about taking your own counsel and following your own instinct. You know, to a large degree, obviously within reason. But what I find fascinating, and that this is part of the mental mismanagement issue, you just said it by saying, you know, you follow your own instinct. You still went to the doctor and told your doctor about what your instinct is, and he most probably just validated that. But where it becomes problematic, and it's a real big problem in society in general, is a general neurotic disorder. I mean, I've had a phone call in my practice, kid you not, no worry, me and this individual are good friends now, so there's no issues, but the person phoned me at almost 10:45 at night to ask me to if they could eat an avocado.
Okay, before we go to the break, we have a comment from a listener that says, this man is on point. Popping a pill, which psychiatrists love to do, does not help. It's a plaster. Fantastic show. Many thanks. This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kozulski and Faggy Stern.
This is what I love about conversations, is that really, when you know, you're able to debate and expand and think about things, it just goes so very quickly. And so we're out of time right now, sadly. Okay. I think I could talk to you for at least another 2 hours. If somebody would like to get hold of you, Pierre, how can they?
Basically, they can get hold of me at CanCure Wellness at Greenside, but also they could WhatsApp me on 076-405-0664. You can send me a message. I always respond, or make an appointment to come see me at CanCure Wellness in Greenside.
So that's CanCure, be cured, CanCure Wellness. I want to thank you, Pierre. I think that your outlook on life is a very, very balanced one, a very, very open, expansive one. And it certainly even pushed me further in looking at things in a much greater way. Thank you for joining the show.
Pleasure. Okay, thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much, Pierre.
Yes, bye.